Peace be with you and with your spirit. Welcome to an update and another episode of St. Anthony's Tongue. I am your host, W. So believe it or not, we are at our midpoint in our series on the mystics. So as I did last summer, as I do each summer, I will now be going on my summer break to clean up the next half of the series, do some tweaks, do some recording, as well as get some rest as well. However, I will still be active on social media. I will still be very active on Patreon. If you're not a member of the Patreon, please consider joining. I have posts nearly every day, at least Monday through Friday. I've also been doing a lot more bonus audio episodes. We just did one on Our Lady of Perpetual Help. We've done some on the Sacred Heart. And these range from more formal storytelling type episodes like you're familiar with to more laid back and casual type episodes, kind of like what you're hearing now. Alongside bonus episodes, we have a massive database of prayers, blessings approved for the laity, articles on saints, articles on topics, articles on mysticism, Christianity, deconstruction, you name it, it's all there. So please consider hanging out. There's also some good perks throughout all of the tiers. There's also a very active Discord. So if you still need your St. Anthony's Tongue fix over the next few weeks, come hang out with us on Patreon. It's a very active community, and we'd love to have you. Also, if you're not following me on social media, I'm most active on Instagram, but I am on Twitter as well as TikTok too. Come say hi there. Still posting a lot on those platforms as well. However, in about a month-ish, maybe less, I will be back with episodes on A Way of a Pilgrim, which is the great story that tells about the Jesus Prayer, one of the great mystical prayer methods of the East. It's revered both in Catholicism and Orthodoxy. And then we're also going to have episodes on St. John of the Cross, the Cloud of Unknowing, St. Therese of Lisieux, St. Francis de Sales, as well as our Lord's Line Q&A episodes. So we'll be back in a few weeks, and I look forward to hanging out with you again then and sharing with you what I've been working on. However, we're still going to chat this episode because I feel like we should do a little reflection. We should look back on some of the main things we've learned about Christian mysticism, about Catholic saints that were mystics, and more. So let's chat. So if you were to ask me what my biggest takeaways so far have been, or maybe things that I've uncovered or learned or personally have kept close to me during writing, researching, and recording this series, the first would be how Christian mysticism is defined. We use the word mystic in a way today that is on the same par as magical or mysterious or ethereal or otherworldly. And can it be those things? Sure. But when we talk about Christian mysticism, there is a certain aspect that I feel we must talk about. And we did talk about it in our Experiencing God and Mystical Prayer episodes. But what is it? And it's the transformative property of Christian mysticism. So now that I've spent time with this beautiful, wonderful topic, really diving into it, if you were to ask me what is Christian mysticism, I would say this. Christian mysticism is an increased awareness of God that results in a stronger love for God and a deeper love for neighbor. I shall repeat. Christian mysticism is an increased awareness of God that strengthens our love with God and deepens our love with neighbor. We can say deepens and strengthens for both. That's just how I said it in this moment. And I think that's really important. Now, why is that important, W? Well, it's important because it goes back to the cross. And this is kind of my second takeaway. This is a very casual episode, so I didn't say there were X amount of takeaways, so I'm just going to name a bunch of takeaways. And yes, this is the type of content you get on Patreon sometimes, a little more laid back. But this deepening love of neighbor, this transformative love that increases our love of neighbor and God, it all goes back to the cross, which is very fitting because it all goes back to the Sacred Heart too, which I've been talking about online for most of June. And here is how it goes back to the cross. In the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, God tells the prophet, "If you gaze upon the pierced one, you will be filled with my love, grace, and spirit." And of course, who was the one that they pierced? It was Christ. And this is talking about mystical prayer, which we'll reflect on again in a moment. But when we reflect upon the pierced one, when we reflect upon the wounds of Christ, when we reflect upon the love of Christ, what happens is our hearts are wounded. We are wounded in love. We are so wounded because we want to love God more than we can. We are mere mortals. We are just flesh and bone and spirit. We cannot love God as much as we want to, so we are wounded in love. And reflecting upon the wounds of Christ, reflecting upon the sacrifice of Christ, reflecting upon how Christ's sacrifice revealed the love of God, reflecting on all of this wounds us in love. And then we are compelled to heal the wounds of others through service, through prayer, and otherwise. So you see the transformative property in Christian mysticism right there. By meditating upon the mysteries, by reflecting upon the stories of Christ, we are wounded in love, and now we are compelled to act. We are filled with the Holy Spirit and compelled to go out and assist one another. That is the transformative property of Christian mysticism. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's our hearts being opened. That's all it is. Now, can this take the form of an angel piercing our heart with an arrow like Saint Teresa? Yeah, sure, it can. Can this take the form of Mary appearing to Saint Ignatius of Loyola and stepping on the head of a serpent in front of him? Sure, it can. But it can also be move to tears while holding a newborn child, or being in awe at watching the sunset, or just thinking about how lucky we are in a moment. Those moments we are wounded in love as well, and we want to do something. We are yearning for something in that moment. We want to do something about it. Yes, we can thank God. We can look up and praise him. We can pray to him, we can give him thanks, but there's still something more we want to do, and what is that? Well, we can go and heal the wounds of others with that love that stems from God. And that in of itself is Christian mysticism. That in of itself is gazing upon the one they have pierced so that our hearts are pierced like Christ's, and much like Christ's love pours forth. Another takeaway, a second takeaway. Again, I don't know how many takeaways I have. This is off the cuff. A second takeaway is mystical prayer, right? And it was eye-opening to me to see that the church, the Catholic Church, has defined a system of mystical prayer. They don't even call it mystical prayer. They just say it's prayer. And this system, this series, these steps can be found in everyone from the work of Saint Teresa of Avila to John of the Cross to Francis de Sales. You even see it in Catherine of Siena with her dialogues. You see it in the Mass. You see it in the Rosary. And what are those steps? Those steps are first vocal prayer. Vocal prayer is simply reciting pre-written prayers. And then meditation. Now, meditation can be in many forms. It might be focusing or meditating upon the vocal prayer you just said, or it could be meditating upon a mystery of Christ or in the scripture. But that then, through true meditation upon those elements, you are brought into what is called contemplation. Now, contemplation is a gift from God in which we feel his, may or may not feel, but we are open to feeling. His love, his grace wash over us. I'm saying feeling, and I'm trying not to say feeling, because when I say that, we start looking for it. That contemplation might not be a feeling. It might be a grace of an idea. Maybe there is something in our life now, and through this meditation, we can keep that and use it in the world. That could be a grace of contemplation. It's not always a warm and fuzzy. But those steps you can see throughout many things. I mentioned the rosary. The rosary is a contemplative tool. You have the vocal prayers of the Hail Marys, the Our Fathers, and the Glory Be, which leads to meditation. And when we meditate, when we truly meditate, I find when we pray the rosary, we go through the meditations of the mysteries, or we don't even focus on the mysteries, we skip over them, but truly putting yourselves in the mysteries. Truly, if you're praying the rosary by yourself, sit down and journal about the mysteries. Talk out loud about the mysteries. Ask questions to God about the mysteries. Really focus on the mysteries. And in that, we will get something. And that could be something we can use in our everyday life, or it can just be a feeling of washing over us. It could be both. In that feeling that we get when the rosary is over, or the graces we get, whether we see them now or we don't, we might not feel or see them at all, that is contemplation. You see it everywhere. And contemplative prayer is meant to increase our closeness with God, increase our relationship with the Creator, with the Father, with the Trinity, with the Holy Mother. And I feel as if most Catholics have never been taught how to pray at all, rather than recite a vocal prayer. And they were never taught that vocal prayer is step one in a three-step process. Step three is completely determined by God, but it's a three-step process. And I think that's a very important part of prayer. It's a very important part of prayer. And it goes into our daily life as well. As I mentioned before, the wounds of Christ, being wounded in love, that's not a prayer. That's a philosophy of life, but it has the same steps. It has the same steps, right? We pray to God, we reflect on the wounds, and then we are transformed to do something about it, to heal others, because our hearts are opened. And I don't want to reflect too much on feeling. Feeling and emotion can be tricky, but they are important. Our hearts being opened are important. There's discernment that comes into that, and we discuss discernment a little bit with St. Ignatius of Loyola. But this system of prayer, to be moved to do something, or to be moved to be assisted by something we learned in meditation, that is a very key concept of Christian mysticism. Another place we see that I recommend we all do more is Lectio Divina, which we have an episode on. And that is the contemplative prayer path, those steps, again, just with the Bible. Now, this is one of the official prayers of the Church, the Divine Office and Lectio Divina. That is something that monks around the world do every day. You sit and you focus on that piece of scripture until something speaks to you, and then you see how that is relating to something in your life or something about God that you can take with you. So, in summary, prayer in Catholicism, prayer in Christian mysticism, because this can be found in many Christian spheres, it's dynamic. It's dynamic, it's transformative, and it leads to an experience, a closeness with God. I also have been trying not to say experience, and I did mention this in the first episode, the Experiencing God episode, ironically misnamed, because God is always with us. We are always experiencing God. Rather, it's an increased awareness of God, and that's what mystical prayer is all about. A third reflection, a third main point that I'd like to recap or touch upon in this episode is the concepts we discussed in the Nature Mysticism mini-series. This was a big eye-opener to me, So the concept of the cosmic priesthood is very intricate, and there's a lot more to it than I could explain in, you know, an hour worth of episodes or so. There's things you need to get into about the Trinity. There's a lot you need to get into about atonement, by the way, and that goes back to what I said about wounds as well. We must first have a good understanding of atonement. Same with nature mysticism, because it explains the role we have, why Christ came and died. Didn't have time to get into all of that. We're going to be discussing atonement when we come back from the break a little bit. But nature mysticism, at least the cosmic priesthood concept, was eye-opening to me because it goes back to us having a very hands-on role when it comes to all of nature. And that is, we are to assist in spiritualizing the spiritless or the less spirit-filled by simply observing things, taking it in through our senses, and lifting it up to God through prayer and thanksgiving. And of course, there's the more hands-on, taking care of one another, taking care of God's creation, being good stewards of the garden of God. It's part of our roles. It's part of why we are here. It's part of why Christ incarnated. Now, with the Holy Spirit within us, we join Christ in lifting things up to the Father. And to me, this was important because from a mystical standpoint, I think this is very eye-opening for many people because many look at Christianity as a very empty theology to an extent, a very cut and dry intellectual theology. But no, Catholicism is pan-in-theistic, not pantheistic. I've just had people in my DMs about that, about a post I made. Pan-in-theistic, God is working through all things. And I think that's actually most Christian sects. That's not just Catholicism. So nature mysticism, the cosmic priesthood, all those concepts show that Christianity isn't just a death cult. It's not just about, you know, this isn't just a temporary place, then we die. First, we have the theology of wounds that I talked about, right? We are being compelled by an open heart to love one another more. But now we also have this nature mysticism aspect, the cosmic priest aspect, where we now are also being good stewards on earth as it will be in heaven. And it's very important. And there's the spiritual aspect, which I mentioned, taking in things through our senses and lifting it up to God, but the physical aspect of taking care of one another. And this shows that Christianity is not just about the afterlife. It's not just about this intellectual exercise. It's not just about, you know, the checklist to get into heaven. It's being part of the mystical body of Christ on earth and being good stewards of all creation. I think it's only fair we reflect on the actual mystics we've discussed for a moment, too. Let's start with Teresa of Avila. And of course, if you haven't listened to these episodes, I suggest you go and check them out during this break. Teresa of Avila, of course, has given us what we now see as prayer, even though many of us weren't or aren't familiar with contemplative prayer. It's what she gave us. And I've spent three episodes on Teresa of Avila, so I won't go too deep into her here. But one of the biggest takeaways for me was that it was many years of desolation before she felt the consolation of prayer. She wanted to give up on prayer quite a bit. She didn't start having these experiences or awarenesses of God until later in life. But even then, she kept praying. She kept praying contemplative prayer. She wasn't the one who came up with contemplative prayer. She tweaked some of her systems that we know now as the Interior Castle, but contemplative prayer was something done by many early church fathers. Bernard of Clairvaux was one that I believe influenced her a little bit. But it wasn't until later in life that she really started feeling these graces and becoming content with them. And it wasn't until later in life that she had the ecstasy of her heart being pierced by the angel. So that's something I like to keep in mind, is that even though she prayed and prayed and prayed, It was never about consolation. It was never about the warm and fuzzies. It was just about being with God. And eventually that paid off. But there were bouts and times where she had doubts, but she stuck with it. And I think that's very beautiful. Even when she was opening up convents and monasteries around Spain, she still was feeling a desolation that she stuck with that eventually paid off. Let's move on to Catherine of Siena. Again, please check out the episode I did on her. My main reflection and thought on Catherine is the fact that my episode on her mysticism hinged on The Gentle Mirror of the Soul, which is a little bit of my take on some of her writings, borrowed, sourced, because I did source them from a few other books that kind of discuss the same concept. The Gentle Mirror of the Soul was something she wrote about and mentioned, but it wasn't really a key concept to her life or her writing. It was just mentioned throughout. And most of her, if not all of her writings, were in the dialogue as well as letters. So my main reflection for her is that there's so much more we could have talked about. But when I think about her, I think about her service. Yes, that episode gets a little grotesque. I should have put a warning. That's another thought I have. That's another reflection. But her service to others, and her humility to others. She wanted to serve the Christ in everyone. And you see this from a young age when her family tried to dissuade her from joining a convent by bossing her around, which is funny because that should have led her away, which it did. But she served them with humility by seeing or imagining that she was serving the Holy Family. She was serving Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And you see her do this during her time as a religious, where she tends to the sick, and she often tends to the sickest of the sick, the most contagious of the sick. And she prays often, you know, allow me, God, to see you in these people, to go beyond my body so I can serve them with my whole heart. I think that's beautiful. And again, and this applies to Teresa as well, Catherine was a very unassuming woman who still rose up to be a main messenger of the Pope. And she discussed and even argued with kings and queens and princes and other popes. But this unassuming young woman, she only died at the age of 33, she was God's messenger. And you see that a lot in scripture. You see that with every prophet, right? It's the unassuming one. It's never the big, boastful one. It's never the Joel Osteens of the world. So there's a lot of beauty in Catherine's story, and there's so much beauty in the dialogue, and I do mention that in some of the episodes, so I won't discuss it too much, but this concept of ego and going beyond the self, I think we often confine that to Eastern religion and Eastern philosophy to remove the ego and non-attachment, but non-attachment, which we're going to talk about with St. John of the Cross when we come back, it's a big part of mysticism in Christianity as well. It's about making God the center of things. And Catherine discusses that. She discusses how sin is just this extra stain that stops us from seeing God, experiencing God, having an awareness of God. It muddies up the gentle mirror of the soul, which I think is lovely. We also discussed Ignatius of Loyola. That's another one, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned it a few times in the episode, where he's not a doctor of the church, but he could be. There's so much on discernment we could have talked about. There's so much on the exercises we could have spoken on. But he's a good example of the transformative experience of God. His transformation was at first not an apparition. Now, if we are to believe the legends and his writing, so I could say it came from him, he did have apparitions later. But his transformation was not this lightning bolt. It was intellectual. It was his heart. It was a movement of mind where he no longer wanted to read about the lives of the knights and the warriors. He wanted to read about the lives of the saints. That is what spoke to him. And that too is a transformation, right? And if you want to put that into our meditation, contemplation system of contemplative prayer, there it is, reading the life of a saint, and your heart is moved. You are transformed through contemplation. So that's a good example of a transformative process that I think is beautiful. And he gives us an imaginative prayer. He gives us this concept of really putting ourselves in a biblical story, using imagination to find God. And this does require discernment. It requires maturity. It requires us knowing we truly are following the will of God, not our own ego. But it's very powerful as well, because it's very empowering, I would say, to know that we can reflect and meditate and use our minds, use our imaginations to discern the will of God. And that can also assist us in our meditation practices of contemplative prayer. And lastly, Hildegard. So much to say on Hildegard. We have a decent bit of bonus content on Hildegard if you wanted more after that episode. But just an amazing figure, an amazing doctor of the church who was everything, a prophet, an abbess, a musician, a mystic, and more. And she teaches a lot. And, you know, I focused on trying to almost tie it back to the Nature Mysticism series. She focuses a lot on this holistic approach to our own spirituality, how this awareness of God in our lives has to do with our soul, but also our body. And that's why she's big on holistic healing and herbalism. And her cures would involve prayer, but also herbs and also rest. Mind, body, spirit. And a big thing with her is how, and this is more from my research rather than what I discussed in the episode, but a big reflection, and we learned this on the Discord. We tried to do a book club on one of her books, but it was so New Age. And that's something that I found with her as well, is there's not a lot of more, I wouldn't even say traditional, but there's not a lot of just, hey, here's Hildegard type writings out there. It's always trying to make Hildegard what people want Hildegard to be. And you see that with many saints from, you know, the more traditional side, the more liberal side. You see that with a lot. So she's really hard to pin down. But what I've come across is a wonderful Catholic mystic who saw God working through all things, that panentheism. She saw God working through the stones, the rocks, the sky, the birds. You know, her vision was our souls are all connected to one another and then they go up to God. So a very beautiful saint. And I can see why many people are so drawn to her. So what am I looking forward to moving forward? I'm looking forward to doing some more Lord's Line Q&As. That was intended to be every 2 weeks. So I wanted to get another one in there, but I need a break, guys, just being honest and transparent. So I might actually come back with a Lord's Line. But I'm looking forward to a few things. I'm looking forward to Thérèse of Lisieux and Francis de Sales, because they really consolidate a lot of these large mystical elements and concepts we've talked about. Francis de Sales essentially will take, you know, all of the writings, all of these big concepts of John of the Cross or Teresa of Avila, and he will very beautifully rewrite it for laity or really summarize it in a very simple way. And I love that about Francis de Sales. And Thérèse of Lisieux, of course, she comes from the lineage of John of the Cross, of Teresa of Avila. So her little way was another way to really simplify Christian mysticism, Catholic prayer. That being said, though, I am looking forward to our episode on John of the Cross, too. He is a favorite saint of mine. Also, we will be discussing Dark Night of the Soul. I feel like that is a term that we overuse. I also think, though, we need to talk about suffering, redemptive suffering, maybe even the mysticism of suffering. It's going to be fun. Really looking forward to all of it. Looking forward to the cloud of unknowing, because there is the centering prayer that comes from that that we need to talk about with nuance. Also looking forward, of course, to the way of a pilgrim, which I'm excited about too. Excited about all of it and excited to share it with you. So I hope you catch up with episodes if you have not heard all the episodes we've done this series. And I hope you take care of yourselves. I hope you stay hydrated and cool in this hot, hot summer. And I look forward to returning with some fun things for you guys. Thank you for all your support. Please share this series. Share an episode with a friend. Follow on social media. Help spread the word, because I really look forward to sharing more with you guys. This has been a lot of fun. God bless you. Take care. And until next time.